Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hello, and welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families learn to love living with dogs. Today, I'm here with Colleen Pilar, my podcast partner, as well as Dr. Suzanne Tarrant, who is a general practice, small animal practice veterinarian in Johnstown, Ohio. But Suzanne does some other interesting things as well. She does a wide variety of things with her dogs, including taking some of them to Westminster. But she also does agility and lure coursing, and I know she's taken some rally courses. So she's here today to talk to us about agility and the family dog. But first of all, Suzanne, welcome. And could you tell us how you got into agility? What sparked your interest?
Yes, thank you, first of all, for having me. I basically got into agility because I had a lot of clients that were coming in and talking about agility, and it sounded like a lot of fun, a really fun thing to do with your dog. What dog wouldn't love running and jumping and climbing over things? And I finally just made time in my life, which is what you have to do sometimes, to take one of my dogs and try agility class. So that's how I got started.
What surprised you most about it when you started agility?
What surprised me most? I don't know, just how I think the real thing that surprised me the most is the bond that you get with your dog when you start working together as a team. And sometimes that takes a little longer than other times, but when you finally click, it's an amazing bond that you can develop with the dog. And I don't think I thought it would just be fun, but I don't think I realized how strong that bond could become.
It is really cool how some of these sports and activities really build the bond in ways we weren't thinking when we started.
Yes.
And it's not just on the agility course. You're talking about a bond that develops between your dog that permeates all aspects of life with your dog. Is that correct?
Yes. Once you start working together, and you know, I'm sure it goes for any other kind of training that you're doing on a consistent basis, but you're, you know, working with your dog consistently. And agility, as we always say, is a team sport. So it's you directing your dog around a course. Your dog has to listen to what you want, and you have to understand the dog enough to understand how to best direct them around the course. So it is truly a team sport.
So how many years have you been doing agility?
I started doing agility right after I came home from Afghanistan. So that was January of 2009. I started I took a dog that I rescued from Afghanistan to class, and she did a couple classes, but it just wasn't for her. And then I started with my Sheltie that I had.
So tell me why you were in Afghanistan.
Oh, I was in the Army Reserve for 20 years. So I was there as a veterinarian.
Wow. I had no idea. That's pretty cool.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, yeah, we could veer down that road, but I think we're going to try and stay on the agility track here. So, Suzanne, if somebody wanted to just play around with agility at home with their dog, what are some of the things that somebody could do that would be safe and fun to try with their dogs that might give them a taste of what this is like and if it's something they might want to pursue further?
There's some equipment they can actually make easily or buy. There's also some of the dog parks have some equipment. The big thing to keep in mind is that you want to be safe with your dog. And so when we teach the agility, the first level is to actually teach the dogs and the owners, handlers, how to safely, you know, perform the obstacles. So jumping is a great thing. Most dogs will jump far higher than they should jump. When you're doing agility, you're doing repetitive jumping. So you want to be sure that your dog is not jumping too high. Mm-hmm. People will say, mm-hmm. My dog can jump, you know, 4 feet. Well, so can my dog, but I don't want her jumping 4 feet repetitively. So you want to start at a low height, especially with young dogs. You want to be careful with any dog under 18 months of age that their growth plates have closed. But you can make jumps out of anything. You can take buckets and a broom handle. You can use, depending on the size of your dog, the little kid tunnels that you can buy at like Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm.
And go through the tunnel. You can even use a board, a wide 12-inch heavy, like a 12-inch by 1-inch by 12-foot board, and prop that up kind of low, but that they get used to walking on a narrow board like that. So there's lots of things you can do just to see if he likes it.
When you're suggesting people start with low jumps, how should someone decide what is low for their dog? Is there a standard rule of thumb based on, you know, a dog's body part that they could say, oh, okay, it should be no higher than here, or what?
Yeah, there's different venues have jump heights based on the height of your dog at the shoulders that your dog is required to jump. But most people will start in beginning classes with everyone jumping no more than 8 inches. Obviously, if you have a little Chihuahua or a Yorkie, you're not going to jump 8 inches. You're probably going to jump 4 inches. But even the large dogs will start at 8 inches because they know how to jump. They're learning the obstacles. And so you really want them to focus on what you're teaching them and not on jumping. Once they get more experienced, it's based on their shoulder height. And you could certainly look that up on online for like AKC jump heights or agility jump heights for different dogs. But it's generally like for CPE, a 16 to 20 inch dog at the shoulder would jump 16 inches. For AKC, I think it's they jump higher. So a 16 inch dog would jump 20 inches, just to give an idea.
That reminds me of years ago, I took an agility class with my Labrador, just an introduction to agility, and they paired up dogs so that they weren't continually readjusting jump heights.
Right.
But because my dog was not a genius jumper, he just didn't quite catch the concept. I was paired with a dachshund. And so my Labrador and the dachshund did the same jump height, and it was perfect for us. That was my agility level, and that was his agility level. So,
right.
And, others went higher.
Right. So dogs can jump lower heights, and there's different ways for them to jump lower as they get older too. But it's, you know, everybody wants their dog to jump. Well, my dog can jump really high, but that's not the point of
of
agility. It's to jump consistently and safely, and hopefully for a very long time. So you don't want to force them to jump any higher than necessary.
Okay, well, that's good. I was going to say, too, when you're talking about boards, one of the things, because I'm in beginning agility at your facility, and to teach my dog that she actually has a rear end, because most dogs, people don't believe it, the dogs really are very oblivious to their back quarter. I have an extension ladder that I laid on the ground next to my house, and my dog, I lead her through the extension ladder so she has to place each foot. But then I found this 12-inch board that I then placed on the extension ladder. So it was elevated a little bit, so she had to then step about 4 inches up onto the board. But it helped to teach her the dog walk because it was at least a little bit of an elevation, and she had to stay on that or she'd fall off the ladder. So that was a really easy and quick way to get her used to sort of doing a dog walk kind of thing. So you can just use the stuff you have at home.
Right. And a ladder is a great thing to help them learn where their rear end is, too.
It is.
Because they have to walk all 4 feet through that. So, yes, that's a good one.
So now you also do lure coursing. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Lure coursing has got to be the simplest and most fun thing you can do with your dog. Any dog that likes to chase something, just about any dog that likes to chase something and is brave enough to go away from their mother or father.
That's right.
Is gonna love lure coursing. So lure coursing was actually designed for the coursing dogs, the sighthounds, the greyhounds, and the Salukis. But since they were having all the fun, they made AKC has a program called Coursing Ability Test, and that's for all the other dogs on the planet except for the coursing dogs. And it's a safer course, so there's no turns tighter than 90 degrees. And it's basically a bag, a line that's laid out in a shape. It's usually a couple of turns. It's usually like a big rectangle with maybe a couple angular turns in it. Dogs under 12 inches go 300 yards, and over 12 inches go 600 yards. And there's three, like, Kroger bags tied to the string, and the person that runs the lure can make the speed as fast as your dog is willing to go. So all you really have to do is walk up to the line, hold your dog, wait for them to tell you to release your dog and let it go and watch it run 600 yards as fast as it can. And they're exhausted. So it's a wonderful sport.
You know, I think they do that at the Columbus Zoo with the cheetahs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just out there with my grandkids about 6 months or so ago, and you're describing this. I'm going, this is what they do with the cheetahs. They have the cheetahs in a behind a gate, and they have, like, I don't know, some piece of meat or something on a rope, and it there's a winch, and it goes flying around, and the cheetah chases it around like this oval course, and back into its crate. It's just, it's exactly the same thing. So apparently you can do it with wild animals too. So,
Well, it's simulating chasing a bunny or a,
right,
whatever, gazelle or whatever, but yeah.
That's right. So you can do it with your captive squirrel in the backyard. Have it see it chasing. Right. But,
are there any things you can practice at home that work toward lure coursing in the same way we were just talking about things you could do for agility?
There are. I've had people say, you know, and I've seen dogs that just don't run. Some dogs just don't run. They maybe start to chase it, and then they aren't used to going away from their family member, and so they'll come back, or it just doesn't entice them. So they're not every dog obviously cares, but you can tie just like a Kroger bag to a string and drag it around the yard just to get them to try to chase it. And see if they like it. I've seen Chihuahuas do it. I've seen, you know, all kinds of dogs do it. And then I've seen some dogs that just aren't interested. So again, I think personalities, some breeds, the smush face breeds, you have to be careful with them. But I've seen Boston Terriers run. I think I saw a Frenchie run. So mainly just dragging something around the yard and seeing if you can get them to chase it. My dogs were more than happy to leave me and chase off the bags. They didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just thinking, I think I started doing something similar with the puppy. I had my flat coat has a bumper that she loves to chase. And so I showed it to the puppy and then just dragged it. He started running after me through the house as I was dragging the bumper through the house. So I think you could even start that way, you know, with a favorite toy, have them follow that. And so that might be a great way to, you know, exhaust your kids and your dogs, right? Have the kid.
Get the kids. Yeah. The other thing they suggest, if you go to a lure coursing event and your dog hasn't, my dogs literally go so insane that I can't get them anywhere near the course until they're ready to go because they're crazy. But is to have them stand up there and watch. And a lot of times just the excitement and seeing that thing going around and the dogs chasing it is enough to get dogs interested in it too. So,
yeah. Oh, I can see that. I can see that.
I think it's my dog's favorite thing because there's no training. They just get to go run crazy. 45 seconds. So,
wow. So how do you win at lure coursing? Is it just how fast you go,
the coursing ability test is the dog has 2 minutes to run the course. Most dogs either run it or don't run it, but it's a pass fail. You can go out there and help them. So if you do have a dog that's a little hesitant, sometimes when they get far away and they make a turn, then they'll look back and they're like, oh, you know, mom's not here. I'm not supposed to be out here. You can go out there and kind of encourage them to keep going. So it's designed for dogs to have fun, and it's a pass-fail. So if they complete the course and they don't leave, if they go off the course or they completely lose interest and you can't get them back, then they fail. But if they complete the course, they get a qualifying ribbon. And then there's three title levels. You get three qualifying runs. You get a coursing ability title. 10 is a coursing ability advanced, and 25 is a coursing ability excellent. And then every 25 after that would be a numbered coursing ability excellent, 2, 3, 4. So it's just a fun thing to do.
Wow.
But no training other than a dog that is in relatively good condition, and you just have to really watch if it's too hot in the summertime sometimes.
Right,
but.
Right. So with and you're speaking of titles, let's going to switch back to agility. Can you tell us a little bit about agility trials and the titles involved in that, and how good does my dog have to be to do a trial?
Well, there's multiple venues in agility. There's AKC. There's CPE, which is fairly popular around here. There is also USDAA, but some of those I don't think they're as popular around here. There's also TDAA, which is teacup dog agility, which used to be for dogs under 16 inches, but it's expanded to dogs under 20 inches, although the equipment is designed for little dogs with that. So there's different. All of them have different titling levels. You can you start out obviously at lower levels and work your way up. The ultimate goal is to be a agility champion in whatever venue you're in, which generally takes the average person a couple, 2-3 years to get to, depending on how much you trial. For a dog to really be ready to trial, again, it depends on the venue. CPE, a lot of people like that. It's a little more laid back. And in the level one, the dogs don't have to do the teeter or the weaves, which are the two most difficult objects generally. So dogs can start in that venue a little bit earlier than they can in the others. But your dog needs to be pretty consistent on most of the or all of the obstacles and pretty good at staying with you. Before you trial, generally about a year of classes, depending on the handler and the dog.
Okay. What does CPE stand for?
It's canine performance events.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I assume that the standards are fairly similar between AKC and CPE, but there are differences. Are they important differences while you're training your dog?
No, the training is really the same. AKC, the higher levels of AKC, the courses, the times are faster in AKC. So if you have a older or a slower dog, all courses are timed. As the higher you go up in the levels, the less time you have. So you, and it's a per yard time, and I don't know all the times, but maybe you've got 3 seconds a yard at one level. By the time you get to the top level, and maybe you only have 1 second. So it gets significantly wow. faster. The courses get more complex, and the times get faster. So the AKC higher level courses have much faster times than CPE levels do. And sometimes the courses are more technically advanced, but CPE courses are pretty difficult too. So it's just I would say the big difference between the two is the times aren't quite as hard in CPE, aren't quite as fast in CPE for a dog to qualify. In AKC, you also get rewarded for the faster your dog is. So slow dogs don't do very well in AKC.
So Suzanne, do your dogs like both sports, or do you have a dog that prefers agility and a dog that prefers lure coursing? You know, differences for different dogs. How's that turn out in your house?
It turned out in my house that my boy that I thought was going to be my agility boy likes agility and likes to go to class, but does not like to trial. And some dogs, trials are a whole different ball game from mm-hmm. classes, and you can have dogs that are just wonderful in class and they get to a trial and now you've got, you know, 50-60 dogs, and it's a very high energy environment. You've got dogs that are barking and carrying on, and it's and some dogs will go out there And his first trial, he didn't do one obstacle. And I still to this day was like just shocked to death because he was doing wonderful in class. But he just, the stress, he just went around everything and didn't want to do anything. So he doesn't do as much agility as I originally thought he was going to do. But my other dog, she seems fine. So they're all different. People sometimes get really frustrated because they do well in class and they go to a trial and they don't do as well. A lot of times that just takes, you know, experience. The handlers, you're obviously more stressed at a trial because everybody's, you think everybody's watching you, but, so yeah, not trialing is not for every person or every dog.
Yeah. I think that comes up a lot where people are a little bit sad when they want to go test it and see how it's going. But if the real fun is the class, then take the class. That's fine.
Right.
You know, go and do it in a low stress environment.
Right. There's people that just come to class and that's all they ever want to do. And they enjoy that class time and the dogs enjoy the class time. And then there's people that trial just about every single weekend and everything in between. The only thing I will say is just because you go to a trial and your dog doesn't do well doesn't mean they may not down the road. So you want to give them enough time to really see if they can come around in that environment. But for some dogs, it's just too stressful and it's just not worth the stress.
Mm-hmm. And that's true of us too.
It's supposed to be fun, yes. Although, you know, we all get competitive and then, you know, and everybody's watching me now and I have to go out there and my dog has to be perfect and it doesn't always work out so well. But, you know, and the thing is, I swear the dogs know when you get out there, you know, in class, your dog messes up, you can call them over, you can grab them if you have to, you can, you know, take them back and redo it and fix it if they mess up. But when they're on a trial, you can't touch them and you can't fix anything. And I swear they know, they look at you and say, oh, you can't touch me for the next 45 seconds. So here I go.
Now, I was going to ask you, too, you were talking about time. And, of course, when most people think of agility, they've seen it on TV, they think of the border collies that kind of rocket their way around a course. Now, are border collies competing against border collies? Are there trials separated by? Because I can't imagine that my Bernese Mountain Dog would have anything close to a time that a Bernese Mountain Dog border collie. So are they competing in a different league?
In CPE, which I do more of, you're competing, your time is by your level and your jump height. So small dogs, anything that jumps 12 inches and under, have usually 5 seconds more than the big dogs. And each level, as I said before, gets shorter and shorter times. In AKC, it's similar. It's by jump height and then, you know, by level. So border collies are usually jumping 20 inches, sometimes 24 inches. So if you were in the master's level, all the 20-inch master levels dogs compete against each other.
Okay. So, okay.
If you have a burner that's jumping 20 inches, you're in trouble.
Maybe basically, just... your burner is doing like the community softball league as opposed to professional baseball. But it's still a place to play.
There you go. Because they can do it. It's just they're obviously not going to do it lightning. Nothing can compete against a border collie that wants to go fast. So,
yeah, that's true. And you know, burners just, their processes are slower. We have a puppy, and as my husband says about his last burner, he had a Pentium 95, and we upgraded to a Pentium 98 in this one. So it's not that he's not smart, he's just slow at processing stuff.
Right.
So, but on the other hand, I've signed him up for puppy agility because I thought it would be a fun thing for he and my husband to just try together. You know, there's no pressure there to compete or do anything. It just... the way to increase their bond, to have something fun to do together that makes things, just stirs things up a little bit, which I think is always fun. I'm in an agility class right now, and I took it primarily because I wanted to increase Zuzu's focus and wanted to just have some fun with her. So I really do encourage people, and I have had a great deal of fun in class, and without pressure. So I will say your facility is great. But I really would encourage people that if you're curious about it, take a beginning level class. It's really fun. And if the instructors are good, there's not going to be any pressure to be perfect. It's just to explore the equipment, have a good time, and see what you and your dog can do together. And it is a lot of fun. So lure coursing sounds like a hoot and a half. Is there there's an AKC site for lure coursing? If somebody wants to find out more, where would they go?
They would go to the AKC events page and look for coursing ability test. It's usually CAT, coursing ability. And they will have them. Sometimes they will have standalone. I know they have them over in Dayton at Gem City has them occasionally.
Okay.
They'll have them at some of the confirmation shows. We'll have them. So they're getting more and more popular. It's the sport's only been around about the coursing ability has only been around a few years. So it's really starting to get more popular. So.
And do you have to have a certain level of skill at anything before you would try it? Like you were saying before, for a newer dog just standing and watching and being, that sometimes they can just go do it. But can you sign up for an event and just try?
You can. Yes, you need to have an AKC number for your dog if you want to do AKC coursing. And you can get that for any dog. It doesn't have to be a purebred dog. You can go online and to the AKC site and sign up. UKC also does a coursing. It's a little bit different, but they do coursing. And there's not—I don't think there's any of those events right around here. I know they have some in up near like Akron, Canton area. But the AK, yes, you don't need any. The only thing you want on your dog is to be able to catch them. And that was my big worry with my dog. I actually entered him three times before I finally had the courage to let him go. And now I don't worry because I know he's going to stay on the lure. And by the time he's run 600 yards at top speed, I can catch him because he's standing there trying to catch breath. But some dogs, if they aren't that interested, because it tends to be in a pretty big open area, could take off. So I would say be sure you have a dog that you think is not going to run off or that you can catch them if they do. So
right, or has
that's
a really good recall. Good tip. That's good. What is UKC, by the way?
It's the United Kennel Club. It's
oh, okay.
Out of Michigan, and they do a lot. They actually have agility, too. There aren't a lot of events around here. There's a lot up in Michigan, but they do a lot of fun, and they are very family-oriented, kind of laid-back, just out to have fun with your dog kind of organization. So.
We love things like that here at Your Family Dog.
We do. Yeah. We do. Of course, when you said UK, I was thinking of the UK, the United Kingdom. I'm thinking, what do they taste? They must taste, you know, taste like tea cakes on lure coursing. So, well, thank you, Suzanne. That was a lot of really interesting information, and like the idea of, you know, a family sport that kids and dogs can participate in together and have some fun. I really appreciate you joining us today. And is there anything else that you would like to say to our listeners if they're going to consider either one of these sports?
The biggest thing I would say for is if you can work on your basic obedience skills, sit down, come. Teach your dog to walk on both sides of you. So many people that do lots of obedience, their dog is always on the left. In agility, your dog is going to be on both sides. So have them be on both sides and teach them with lots of treats to come back to you. So throw a treat out, call them back to you. All those good things like that you teach, Julie, in your classes.
Okay. I think those are also really good. Those are just great things to have your dog know how to do anyway, whether you're going to be doing agility or lure coursing. So those are great tips. I think that kind of wraps it up for this week. Colleen, you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I'd just really like to thank you, Suzanne, for joining us today and telling us all about this.
Oh, thank you. It was fun.
All right. Well, we will see you next week then. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.